Want to learn how to podcast like me? Join us for the How to Podcast Weekend Webinar, June 25th and June 26th. You can sign up at howtopodcast.biz. Welcome to Pod Nuts Daily, episode number 311. 311. Remember that band, 311?
311, good band.
That was a good band. Are they still around?
On my MP3 collection, they are.
Huh. I should download some of that. I could go for some 311. 311 episodes we have done of this show, which is a computer repair show. It's a computer repair tech show. If you want to learn how to fix computers, you came to this place. It is the correct place. I hate saying you've come to the right place. It sounds dumb, but what we do here is we have computer repair techs come on. It's a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. That's the gist. And welcome all who are listening, watching, streaming, and whatever you are doing. In this show, we actually have two co-hosts on the show. One of them is our technician for the day, which I'll introduce first, Max Monti from MaxMTechnology.com. What's up, Max?
How's it going?
Doing very good.
Good.
Not bad at all. How about you?
Doing good. Like I think everyone else has been busy.
Yeah.
Sounds like from chats and watching the forums that everyone's been pretty busy still. So it's a good thing.
Good. People are still busy.
I know it is.
We'll see. I hope that doesn't slow down. It's a good thing. Well, before we get into Mac, let's introduce another guest, co-host. In fact, I'll talk about it in a second. Tim Kelly. You guys missed Timster, I bet. I know I did. Welcome back, Tim.
Hey, it's been a while.
I know. We almost forgot what you looked like.
I almost forgot what I look like.
Well, you look good, man. I'm happy to have you on.
Now I know you're lying.
No,
but
yeah,
it's good to be back, you know, getting back into the groove. So glad to be here. Max, good guest. So
I agree.
It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you. What's going to happen, guys, is we're having Timster on the show right now as a guest co-host. And starting next week, he's going to be filling in for me hosting Pod Nuts Daily. And we are going to do that, and that should be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I know Tim's excited. Like I said before, guys, with when we were talking about like Linux for the rest of us and some of the other shows, there comes a time when you guys really start to know much more about what's going on than I do as computer repair technicians. I've been out of the loop. I sold my shop well over a year ago. And I think that it would suit the show and do it justice. First of all, to have a veteran Podnuts or like Timster be on. And second of all, have somebody with his knowledge who's actually doing the stuff every day, asking the questions and tracking along. So,
Steve.
What?
Nobody can replace you as a host. Nobody. And by no means do I even think that I can even close to being able to do that. So everyone, let the hate mail begin. But yeah, I'm willing to give it a shot, but there's no replacing you as a host. That's for sure. I don't think that's the idea.
No. Well, thank you for saying that, man. And yeah. I'm actually happy to have you do it. I couldn't think of anybody better, to be honest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And when you say let the hate mail begin, thank you, because where do you think it's going to come?
Yeah, I know.
All right. I know. Let's get into why you guys tuned in the first place. Max, take it over, man. What do you want to talk about?
Alrighty. Just kind of start off like we normally do with our shows, kind of what we've been up to, what we've been doing, some of the work that we've done. I mentioned it a couple of shows ago, last time I was on, that I was, most of my work I've been getting lately has been laptops, and yeah. that still continues to be the same scenario. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7.
Damn.
Oh, keep counting. 9. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, I finally made a board over here to my side so I can put my stuff down and kind of have a better tracking idea. So that way my wife will actually know what's going on a little better. But I've got 10 systems in here. And of those, minus 2, what is that? 8. 8 of them are laptops. So.
Dude, well, that's awesome. Well, now, what's the pile up? Is it just that you have traffic flooding in, or are you backlogged on fixing these things?
I put 3 out. I this kind of seems to be the pattern. I'll get three in, I'll put three out, I get three back. I don't know what the deal is with three.
Wow. So, what's the general repair, the main problem these guys are having with their laptops?
Let's see. I've been having several failed hard drives. And then
you think they're dropping these things or just
that and just general abuse. A lot of them, I'm starting to see more Vista now than I am XP, and starting to get a few Windows 7 systems in. So
Hey Max, what's your choice on repairs? Would you prefer laptops or desktops?
Laptops,
really?
Yeah.
I really love the desktops. It's a whole different animal, you know. It's just something about it. I don't know, but I mean, I can do both. I love doing both, but
right.
I just love digging into a good box, big box, a desktop computer.
Enjoy it while you can, Timster. Because they're going to be getting smaller. I don't think desktops are going to go away completely, but I think they're at least going to get so small that it's almost like a laptop in a case. Do you know what I mean? But that's
Troubleshooting wise, I mean, they're so much easier to diagnose than laptops, you know?
Yeah, for hardware issues, yeah, I'm with you on that aspect. But if it's just going to be a software issue, I'd rather have a laptop because more convenient, you know, they don't take up much space. You don't have to, manipulate it with your monitor if you use a KVM, whatever your system is. And, if you want to go to a different part of the house while you're working on it, you can do that too. So
I like laptops. I've always been a laptop fan. The portableness, I'm fascinated. When computers get smaller, powerful, more faster, I become more fascinated. That's why I love these smartphones. I always love laptops because how small can you make something and how awesome can it be? That gets me going. So I've always been a laptop guy. Desktops get too dirty and there's too many things in them, like bugs and dirt and mold and dust. And laptops is more manageable. I don't know. My opinion. Anyway, how do we get on that? Go ahead, Mags.
Okay. Alrighty. Let's see some of the other stuff I've been doing. You know, I've been kind of reviewing. Because again, you know, this what I do is part time from my regular job, so I'm starting to try to manage my time a little bit better, trying to prep for the new one that's going to be born here in July.
Congratulations!
So, yeah, thank you. It'll be our fourth and final. we got the girl, so we're calling it good.
Was that the goal?
Not really. But, I don't know, my wife has always wanted a girl, and I kind of did, so.
How many kids are you going to have now, three?
This will be the fourth.
Fourth, oh, that's right. Very cool.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
So, wow. Anyway, yeah, I'm just trying to manage my time and, divert my attention just from going and working in the oil field and coming back and doing computer stuff. So, I've been trying to do a little bit more learning, if that makes sense, as far as trying to manage my time, adding more stuff to do as far as learning off of different websites. And I want to add this. I'm going to drop this link into the chat if I can get a hold of it here. This is, surprisingly, it's from HP. And it's called the HP Learning Center. And just kind of peruse through there, but they've got all kinds of different classes that you can sign up for. They've got Linux classes, you know, learning basic Linux all the way to doing Microsoft stuff. It's pretty pretty interesting.
Digital photography, Photoshop.
Yeah, they've got Adobe classes that you can take, PC security maintenance. If no one's finding it, it's about the middle of the page. It says visit our campuses. And then that'll lead you to some of the resources and classes that they got. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Of all the different, places that are out there, that one seemed to be pretty fitting as far as.
So how does this work? I mean, you sign up for it? Is it a downloadable class or?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a self-paced type of class. You know, take it, okay. take it, as you can, or, you know, work your time into it.
And, it's not free, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
really?
Right there at the top, it says free online classes available 24/7. And then,
is it a it's a live thing with like a instructor?
No. It's just, you know, like, just a online self-paced type of class. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just before you go on, this is amazing. Like this kind of stuff exists, but nobody knows about it. I mean, you would think that when they go through this much effort to make these things, like they'd make it, put them into the commercials and stuff. Who is this made for? Who's the target audience? I mean, I guess that's where I'm confused.
It looks like it's a wide range. I mean, there's networking 101, there's print marketing, sales, shooting great small business videos. I mean, name it. There's a ton of stuff here.
That's weird. It's weird to me.
Go ahead. You go into the FAQ, that'll answer, you know, any and all questions that you got. You know, how much of the classes free? How do you sign up? Just create an account. It's pretty interesting. So,
very interesting. Strange. You're right. Yeah. It is an unlikely place to find this.
Yeah, I'd like to know how in depth these classes go. Have you taken one of these classes, Max? Or
let me see. Well, like for the Linux one, I hadn't started one completely because I found it and just haven't really worked into my schedule yet. But I mean, it goes from basic Linux, you know, up to several different types of different, you know, levels within it. So I'm sure.
So it's pretty in depth. I mean, I'm with Steve. This is a little strange. I'd be throwing out free classes and so many categories. It's pretty impressive.
Me too. Yeah. I agree. Very cool.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, we can find more of those. That one was, but like I say, that one of all the ones I found, that one was easiest, you know, made by HP. So, you know,
I mean, how did you find it? Google?
Just stumbled across it. No, I just stumbled across it somehow. I was looking for classes online for malware classes and like from Leaping Computer and different websites like that. And
how to create malware.
Yeah. Just different removal classes and stuff. And, you know, but most of those, they want you to, at least the ones I found, they want you to, you know, enroll in the course. And you have to, you know, stay within the parameters that they set, and you can't practice outside of their class until you graduate from their class.
Right.
All these, you know, different things. I was like, screw that. Just do it my way and, you know, do it. Like I said, then this came up and I was like, well, that's cool. It's, you know, a different direction. So
very interesting.
So yeah. It's kind of a funny link for our listeners to call out. But if you go to HP support, and just in their search box, just type Learning Center - classes, and it'll probably come right up for you.
It's right there.
It's right there with support and drivers. I mean, I'm there all the time with HP.
I know. I'm going there now. I'm checking it out. It's amazing that it's just right there.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, Max. That's a good one, man. It's amazing. So. Weird. What else?
Windows Vista, tune up your PC. Windows Vista troubleshooting. Yeah, like we need to troubleshoot Windows Vista. But there's Windows 7 ones too. Wow.
Interesting.
Tons of classes. Servers 101. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's got it all.
Wireless networking with Bluetooth. Quick lesson. Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, like I say, you know, I don't know how. Like you're asking how in depth do they go? You know, I guess just start one and see how far it goes.
Yeah, I mean, any information is good. Any free information classes, they call it a class. So I assume, you know, you would assume they take you from start to finish.
Right. Right.
I wonder if there's a test at the end.
I bet there is some sort of just question and answer.
Awesome. Thanks, Max.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's see something else. I'll drop this into the Podnuts chat, and then for those that aren't following, it's going to be, you can just do a Google on hackfromacave.com / katana.
hackfromacave.com/katana.html.
Right.
Okay.
Alrighty. And what this is it's a portable multi-boot security suite. Reason I saw this on Hack 5 and one of the multi tools that they always usually show on that podcast. But I thought it was pretty interesting because it has a lot of, you know, some of the stuff that we use, some of the stuff that we don't use, but it's got the Clonezilla, the boot, Derek's boot nuke, the con boot disks on there. And then it's got a Puppy Linux, the Oaf Crack Live for passwords, Ultimate Boot CD for Windows, Ultimate Boot CD. And then it's got a network security type of program, which is the Backtrack program. So wow. it's pretty loaded.
I know. You know what I like most about this? It's legit. You know, you don't see like, you don't see like Acronis. You don't see like all these, you know, like copyrighted programs.
Yep.
PH Crack.
So that's,
yeah, this is awesome. Cause I, you know, in my CD case, I used to have all these on separate CDs. What is it? Mm-hmm. What does it have to be, a DVD? It's gotta be a DVD, right?
You can make an ISO out of it. And then you can also make a bootable disk or a bootable USB key out of it, which I got here. Just got this in my Patriot X 16 gig, USB stick.
That looks badass.
Lockable? Is it lockable?
No, it's not lockable. That's the only problem with it. But I mean, it's got a thick rubber coating on it, and I don't like the fact that it's got the little rubber slip off and slip on thing.
Yeah,
because you know, one of those things you always lose. But you got to have a large USB key for it because it's a 4 gig download.
How big is that Patriot?
16.
That's awesome. It's like a rubber. It's completely rubber, that USB key.
Yeah, it's got a thick rubber coat on it.
That's pretty awesome.
You can, it'll take 60 a little
gigs, beating. Man. That's pretty big.
No, 16.
Oh, 16. I thought you said 60. I was like, dude.
I know. That's like monstrous.
Yeah.
No, 16 is dang good.
Yeah, it is.
So, and then eventually what I'd like to do is make it dual where you can go in there and... I can't remember. I'm drawing a big blank, but we can have a menu so you can select which one you want to boot from and then go from there. So,
yeah, again, that's all good. I love having things on USB flash drives to boot from. I do a lot actually get computers in that the computer, the BIOS still doesn't support, you know, booting from a USB drive. But so that, you know, the CDs would definitely be the way to go with that. But
right.
I like, do you know what John the Ripper is? Is that just a ripping software? Do you know?
No idea.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm just looking at what someone here.
I'd bet it would be.
Oh, Clam AV is good.
I've seen that. That's on there, John the Ripper?
John the Ripper, password cracker.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's
it's a password cracker.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Looks... John the Ripper.
I like their site.
Yeah.
It's all dark open. And yeah.
Open source looking. Real link heavy. You're talking about Hack from a Cave. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking at the John the Ripper password cracker website. It's pretty old school looking.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember stumbling across that at one point.
It's link heavy for sure.
Is it?
But yeah.
Wow, this is like nice. It's like a wiki. Looks like a wiki. Maybe not. All right, what else you got, Max?
Alrighty, let me talk about some of the toys that I've picked up here recently, and drop another link. Sorry for those that aren't following, but this is a link-heavy show for right now. Alrighty, this will go to Amazon, and it's my new ViewSonic 27-inch full HD monitor.
Wow.
Yeah. Having fun with this one.
Really? Dude, I'm jealous.
All right.
Oh, you're killing me with that.
A couple questions here. Number one.
1 MS. Oh.
Well, why did you get a 27-inch monitor, first of all?
Because I like them big.
Okay. All right, second of all, how much did it cost you?
Yeah, well, it was Well, this shows it's $2.99, but it's gone up from when I got it. It was like $2.30, something like that when I got it. So compared to some of the other stuff, I was
that
like,
is
why not?
A great freaking deal, man.
$2.30. I know, man. That's killer.
I mean, so, in 1MS, I mean, that as a gamer, I love that.
Really? That would the, MS that,
yeah,
really
some
makes
response
a difference.
Time and, makes a difference. Yeah. I mean, it just eliminates ghosting. That's one, the first sign you look for. But that's great.
Are the specs legit though? I mean, is it, or is it like, you know, the best in its class type of crap? I mean, is it like actually 1MS is good? Because contrast ratio gets blown out of completely out of proportion. But these, you could actually go by that spec, you think?
I mean, that's one of the first things I look at, definitely. A 1MS response time is very good. I mean, you can't get much better than that, I don't think. Yeah, as far as that goes. To eliminate ghosting, you know, like rapid, you know, fast-moving scenes.
Right.
Yeah, stuff like that. So to eliminate ghosting, it's one of the first things you look for.
Cool.
But you know, everybody needs to make sure when they look at this and they go to purchase it, which $229.99 is what I see right now. Well, that says
that ain't bad.
Those are refurbs. And actually, I guess that's what I got. I just got a refurb. I mean, I was like,
okay, you got a refurb. Yeah,
yeah, that's what it was.
I see $379.99. It's been slashed. Oh, see pricing cart. $299, man. That's not bad.
I'll tell you what. With most refurb things like screens, usually, to me, I think they're a safe bet because what happens is the screen broke and they replace the screen. The case is totally fine, has always been fine, and that's what you're getting on a refurb. Like, I think a lot of refurbs are broken screen replacements, which means you're basically getting a new monitor. So I used to like refurbs on screens themselves. But that's
yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I just want to be sure everybody goes to amazon.com/podnuts and
Pod
then
nuts.
The product.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I agree with you 100%. I appreciate that.
Okay.
But you could also go instead, actually do this. Definitely go this one instead. Podnuts.com/Amazon.
Did I do it again?
Because the day that Amazon sets up a Podnuts page, then we'll be good.
You know
go.
What? You know what? Everybody knew what I meant.
I know. But
I swear, I'll get it backwards every time.
Whatever Timster says that link, just do the reverse.
Just put Podnuts first and then Amazon.
No, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Cool, Max. So do you like this thing?
I'm loving it. But the only regret that I have is that after I ordered, I started thinking one of the reasons I wanted a big screen like this is I wanted to have tie my satellite into it so I'd have a cable connection.
Mm-hmm.
But this one doesn't have that, so I'm going to have to order me another one that has it.
What do you mean?
Basically, you know, the TVs with the VGA connections or the HDMI connections on it.
According to the picture, this says DVI, HDMI, and VGA.
Right. It has all those, but it doesn't have, so I can hook up cable to it. Hook up my satellite to it, so I can watch TV across it as well.
No, but what do you use, coax?
Right.
Oh.
If I wanted to feed that like that.
Your satellite box doesn't have, like, a HDMI out or VGA or DVI out?
It does, but it's in a different part of the house.
Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, that's the only problem. Yeah. I may move it over here once I get my network reset up. I got to do that still. So,
over $230. I mean, you can buy these things all day, just put them all around the house.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. This is another little toy that I bought.
Cool. I like the toy segment.
This one is kind of interesting going from that to this.
Uh-oh. Okay, what do we got here? It's at podnuts.com/Amazon. It's a higher HLT 10-inch handheld TV, black, a handheld TV.
Yep.
$66.
And that, what I'm going to use that for is as like a little side monitor for my TV and... Actually, for whenever I start doing my video, converting all my old VHS tapes, VHS-C tapes to digital.
Oh, this is your external, like your viewing monitor, your preview monitor.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Little view monitor. That's why it's found a little 10 inch. There's a 7 inch, but I decided I'd go for that little 10 inch.
For $66, can't be that.
Yeah.
Why is it so cheap? Is it good? Have you tested it?
I just got it in. It's in the box sitting over there on the corner, but it's got 378 customers reviewing it with
three and a half
stars. So
yeah, I see.
For $66, as a monitor, it can't be that bad.
No.
It's got its own little remote.
Mm-hmm.
There's one with a picture of it, of people on it. Looks good there. Awesome.
Yep.
I like the toys, man.
So that's kind of what I'm doing with that.
All right.
And like I say, I got those because I'm getting ready to start doing, I talked about it again, in past shows, doing video conversions. And
eventually. What kind of video input does that support? Does it support VGA or is it HDMI or do you know?
Which one? The little handheld?
Yeah.
Or
the little 10 inch? Let me go back and look at specs.
I'm looking at the specs here. I don't see where it says.
Audio, video, coax.
Coax. It's coax.
Yeah.
Okay. It says audio, video, and coax. I bet you it has
right.
I bet you it has our composite. I bet you just has composite. But it might have a component. Doubt it. I doubt it.
Let me grab it. Don't switch cameras. I'm going to step out and I'm going to just grab it and look at it.
Let's switch cameras.
You'll see my butt backdrop.
Let's see. Yeah, it doesn't say there. I'll put money on it. It has composite and a coax. That's my guess. What do you say?
Oh, it's an unboxing.
Yes, an unboxing. Now let's go back to Max.
All right.
This is exciting, guys. This is exciting. You're missing this. You're missing this.
All right, let's see what we got here. Man, I don't know what it is.
Really? What's it, like a breakout cable?
Oh, here it is on the side. Okay. Whoa, wait a minute.
Let's see.
Where are the connections?
Here's your connections.
Coax antenna and...
Okay.
AV in. Oh, it's an eighth inch jack, AV in.
Yeah.
That's composite, I bet.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's yellow.
All in one composite yellow.
Right. Right.
But for the price.
Again. Yep. That'll give you a nice picture. It's perfect.
It says a little...
Perfect for what you're doing with it. It's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Max's toy show.
And it's got the... So you can take it in the car, too. So it's got the little AC adapter for it.
Sweet.
All right. Let's see. I found this interesting. I was cleaning out, because I'm still kind of moving into my new shop. And got rid of a bunch of old monitors, and the boys thought it'd be fun to go be un-echo friendly and bust one of them out. So this is what I got out of it.
What is it?
This is the front screen.
Oh, man.
And what's amazing is that,
dang,
this is about the thickness of some of the new LCD TVs, 60 inches that are coming out. It's amazing.
That's a glass from a CRT?
Yes. I was going to measure it.
That is amazing.
It's like three-quarters of an inch, man.
Seriously. Have you seen some of these new Samsungs? The new Samsungs? How skinny they are? It's amazing.
Let's see what it was. It's just short of half an inch.
What do you got, calipers?
No, I just got a little metal ruler.
Wow.
I know. That's insane. So,
I'd be digging, wanting to dig the powerful magnets that are in the back of those things too.
Oh man, I should have pulled those out because I had like six of them. That'd have been fun.
Don't put them near your computers.
How many monitors do you have in your shop?
Right now, I just got my 27 inch, and then I've got my side 19 inch.
Okay, and you use a KVM?
Then I run KVM, which is awesome. I use KVM with Synergy.
Really?
Two combos.
In combination. Mm-hmm. How many ports does your KVM support?
It's only a 4 port.
Okay, that's what I have. So
yeah,
how
I'm
do you?
Ready to,
okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm getting ready to move up on my KVM because I realized that I need another one for my workbench also. So,
wow, dude, four is plenty for me. So how do you use the KVM in conjunction with Synergy?
So that way, let's see.
That is a good question. I was curious too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think too. I'll switch it over. Oh, so that way, one, I don't have to use my, I can just use my, well.
Right. I don't
know. Max is trying to figure this out. This is awesome. I know. That's an interesting.
Well, it's faster switching because, you know, I mean, with most of them, you can use keyboard shortcuts to switch between your screens.
I've never used Synergy, so I was just curious. And I do know that if I had I had a two-part KVM switch at one time, and I was considering going Synergy, but then I just found this awesome deal on eBay for a four-port KVM switch for $15. And so I just jumped on that. And so I never really got around to using Synergy. So I was just curious about how I know it's software based. So I guess it's like keyboard shortcuts. Steve, you used Synergy, or you still do, don't you?
I'm using it right now. I got a great deal too. I got a better deal than you on it.
How does that work? Like if you have to like try to get, say, external video off of a laptop that you're troubleshooting. I mean, it wouldn't work for stuff like that because you can't even boot into Windows or anything.
No, you know? For computer repair, you need something like hardware wired, I think. But for this, I have four working computers here I use for podcasting. It's awesome. It's awesome for that. Because once they're all booted up, Synergy just is running. And if Synergy's running on that machine, whether it be Linux, Mac, or PC, you have one keyboard controlling them all. It's awesome.
I kind of figured that. I kind of figured that, you know, for computer repair, it wouldn't be...
No.
Good of a tool, but unless Max can convince us differently,
Max is going to have to diagram this out. He has no idea what's going on in his shop.
Let me vocally walk my way through this real quick. All right, so what I usually do is I got my main system, which will be right now the way I have it set up. I have my main system, then I got my bench system on the KVM. But usually, what I'll do is I'll just take my workbench will be the main computer on the KVM. And then as I have the desktops, because I primarily only use it for the desktop, so I got room for three more desktops. So then I'll just switch it back and forth with the desktops as I'm working on them without having to have the keyboards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that works, you know, doing the upgrades or installs or whatever like that. So that's how I use it for that. And then what I just remembered here, the way I have it set up now using my KVM and with the Synergy is that I can do copy and paste across systems.
Oh,
that's also what I'm doing when you post a link in the chat room there, I'm copying it and putting it onto another computer.
Okay.
With Synergy.
Oh, yeah.
So that was something else that made it quick and easy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can really basically, if you have as a computer technician, if you have some computers that are actually running Windows that you need to like say clean up, it might be best to use Synergy instead of using your KVM switch, because you can just transfer, copy and paste links between each computer to say cleaning sites you need to go to, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let me try to think about that. But with Synergy though, you've got to have a screen. Each system has to have its own screen.
Each system has to have its own screen.
Is that right? Is anyone in the chat?
I don't know. I've never used Synergy. In my shop, I have one screen and I have a four-port KVM switch. So I don't know where Synergy would benefit me.
Okay, see here in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
You have one screen and one keyboard.
Synergy is a little different of a beast. Now that you mention it. Yeah, you don't do switching with Synergy. You just, computer you have up and running, you could just drag your mouse off the side of one screen and it'll appear on the other screen.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what makes,
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but it's an amazing tool for that.
See, Wilbur there in the chat, he says that he uses the KVM switch to change between two computers of my four sitting here also running Synergy. So I'm not I'm not too far out there, Tim.
So take that, he said.
Figure it out yourself.
Well, yeah, thanks for clearing it up for me.
Oh, that's great. All right, Max. Go ahead, man. Keep us going.
Dang.
I
found a whole herd of these if anybody needs any handy.
What is that thing?
What is that?
144 floppies.
I think I saw an old reel-to-reel movie about one of those.
This is what they always try to get in the hacker movies, you know?
Yeah, it's true. No, actually, on the last episode of Nuts at Night, it went over my head, but the other guys brought a link that, like, signs you're getting old or something like that, whatever it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was that most kids these days, when they click the save button in Microsoft Word, the save icon up in the upper left-hand corner, it's a little floppy disk. The caption was like, most kids these days don't even know what this is when they click to save something. And it's true. They're clicking on an icon of a floppy disk, because that's what it is in Microsoft Word. But they don't know what that thing actually is. They just know that picture means save. It was just interesting. All right, dude. Keep going.
All righty. Let's see. This is a quick complaint about Microsoft. My TechNet subscription expires this month, and I have not renewed it.
Yes.
Just for the simple fact that they have constantly called me every day for 2 weeks straight, every day. So finally, I just blocked them on Google Voice.
And did you tell them that you just called me yesterday, please don't call again and stuff like that?
Well, no, because it goes straight to automated, system. You know, this is Microsoft calling you about your TechNet subscription. It's about to expire. Da 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 da.
Damn.
The first few times it was actually a person calling. Her name was Christy, and she just kept stalking me. I felt kind of cool for a little bit, and then I realized it was just stupid TechNet. But despite saying that, I do have my TechNet shirt on.
That's so awesome.
I am going to renew it. I am going to renew it. But
I'm just going to make them sweat it out. Huh?
Yeah, I'm going to make them sweat it out. Before they get my, I don't even know what it is. I think it's only 100 and something.
So where does TechNet benefit you as a tech individually?
Just all the downloads for, all the different softwares. Because most of the time people don't bring in their computers with their Dell discs or their OEM discs. The majority of stuff I get is Dell. I don't know if that's the same for everyone else, but right. I would probably say 90% of my stuff is Dell.
90.
And I do have a lot of the Dell discs, but I'm not going to put all that crap that comes on those discs. So I'll just, if it's got the product ID key sticker on it somewhere, which most of the time they always do, then, I'll just use one of my downloads off of TechNet and then enter the key into it.
So that does work then. You can use your TechNet subscription to install Windows on an OEM computer, OEM branded computer, use the COA key with no issues. Is that what you're saying?
I've done it, been doing it for a year, and I hadn't had any issues, and I know this has come up before, so anyone in chat got anything different, let us know for sure. So that way, I'll change my ways.
I don't have TechNet, but I've just from what I've been hearing, there's been some people that have been having some issues with it. Then there's been talk about a workaround for it, but is it what it's intended for? I heard that, it really isn't intended to be used in that manner, according to their, EULA or whatever. But like I say, I don't own it. I don't know. So you would know more than I on that.
Right. Yeah.
They should not have a problem with that usage at all. Like at all, they shouldn't have a problem with that usage. I mean, they're making their $300. What is $300 the first year? And then whatever Christy wants to charge you to renew it.
Right.
That's money in their pocket for you installing their OS on systems that already have their OS on it. It's just,
yeah. I think the argument is that TechNet is to be used for testing purposes only.
Testing is a big word, isn't it?
Yeah. Testing. I mean, what does that mean? I mean,
right. Just testing it on all my customers' machines.
But I agree with you, Steve. You know, if there's a COA sticker on the machine, then that the license has been paid for.
Right.
It's just the software.
Exactly.
You know, who cares where you get that as long as you've paid for the license? And that's where the real legal aspects, I think, of
sure
of legal Windows, purchasing, is at, whether it be Office Suites, whether it be AutoCAD, whether it be, any software for that matter.
I agree. I mean, if Microsoft was a computer repair company, then I could see them having some concern because it's taking money out of their pocket. But this just puts money into their pockets. So, well, I don't know what the Eula states, though, Tim. You probably know more than me. But that it seems like it'd be a perfectly nice way to use TechNet. It's convenient for techs, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, over here in the chat, Network Engineer says, correct, I am a TechNet customer, and the Eula states that the keys... But that's the keys though. We're not using the keys, so
right.
So that still doesn't cover it then.
Just using the ISOs.
We're using the keys that are physically attached to the computer itself. But so
right. Take it for what it is. Then
the ever going argument of EULAs versus COAs versus TechNet versus everything in one big messed up pile.
Right.
And then it's not just the Windows ISOs. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. It's also the Office software. That's a big deal too. That's another thing to consider when using TechNet and installing the Office software on customers' computer. Where does that come into play with Microsoft? Is that what TechNet is intended for? I don't know.
I don't know either. Ask Christy next time she calls you, Max.
I will. She can't because I blocked her on Google Voice.
I'll unblock her. She's good. She's a good chick.
Her and Mary hang out here. So.
Awesome.
So, and then outside of that, I use my TechNet for, Tamara said, the Office 2010 suite products that are... I'm running testing on my own systems. I'm still testing those. And then, the server stuff.
Very cool.
So that's that with the TechNet stuff. And let's see, what else do I want? We're getting close on time already.
Don't worry about it. Just do your thing.
All right. Cool. I've got a few things here. I use Twitter quite a bit, and I've got my Twitter mail account set, or not my Twitter list set up. That's my podcast list. So everyone that's on Twitter, that's in the PodNuts community, I got them under my list, and I've seen that several other people have those as well. If you're on Twitter and you don't have a list, go to someone's list and check it out. And then you can see and add them to your own list if you want to do that. But I like to follow Twitter because, you get a lot of quick hits as far as, what's going on in the community, whichever community you follow. I don't have time to sit down and read an RSS feed out of, or I don't have time to sit down and, read news articles because... Pretty much the only time I'm behind a keyboard and monitor is whenever it's someone else's computer that I'm working on. Most of the time, if I'm ordering something, or just taking a quick break, that's about the only time I'm on it for my own personal use. Which is kind of interesting. I don't know if anyone else has come across that their computer usage actually drops on a personal level.
That is interesting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, unless you do personal stuff on other people's computers. No, I know what you mean.
But so what I want to do here, I'm going to drop this into chat. And I've got a in forums, I have a posting on this. And what I'll do is I'll go back and I'll add this list that I'm getting ready to post into the chat right now. I'll post it into the forum so that way, later on people can come back and look at it.
Okay.
But outside of the normal people that you would follow for, you know, security. I've got this listed as security news, and I've called it VMSR, which is my virus malware, and I'm drawing a blank on what the S is, but rootkits. what would the S be? I don't know.
Spyware?
Spyware. There you go. Thank you. See, I'm just checking, making sure you're still in the flow with this. But no, these are the main ones that I follow. Like I say, outside of the obvious normal people that you could follow on Twitter. You know, for those that aren't following or watching video, I've got at Bleeping Computers. I've got at G Clooney. He's part of the Sophos.
G Clooley. Let me just make
G
that
Clooley.
Yeah,
just, Clooney, not George Clooney, George Clooley. But he's a member on the Sophos security team.
Okay.
And then behind him, I've got at Sophos Labs, at Threat Post, at Help Net Security, and at Cisco Security. The reason I follow those, or the reason I've got those, I guess, highlighted or presenting those to everyone is because they give the most relevant and most often, you know, current happenings as far as viruses and security issues.
There you go. Yeah, guys, don't worry if you didn't pick all that up. Max is going to post this in the forums. It's basically a list of people he follows on Twitter, which I think this is a great idea to just keep on top of different topics. Like, so this is your security news and virus, malware, spyware, rootkit list, basically.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then
Bleeping Computers is really good for posting stuff out all the time about, you know, the newest this, the newest that.
Right.
They'll give a link to an article or something about that.
Yeah. Very cool.
And Twitter is just such an awesome tool, man.
For little bite-sized pieces of information like this, do you have different lists for different topics?
You know, I don't. I just... I'm gonna make that on my Twitter account since I've got them all now here on my notes. A little handy dandy, I can just do a drag and drop using my Synergy across my two screens.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. All the younger people, and I say younger people, I mean not that I'm old, but you know, the real young generation now, the teenagers, they're like email.
Email. It's true, man. That makes me feel old because that's my method of communication of choice. I love email. I know I feel so old, but it works for me for an old timer.
Twitter rocks.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like I say, it's just quick info, info bits. I dropped another link in there. This one is short. It's my security and hacker news. Information, and it's at paul.com, at openxxx, and at hack5. Again, you know, these will be over in the forum under, I think I named it Twitter followers or Twitter lists. So you just do a search over in the forums, and I'm going to expand this now that I look at it, just because there's some ones on here that are other ones that I don't have put on here yet. And then I've got a list for iPhone information. Oh, look at that. Did you hear that?
Yes.
As soon as I said list for iPhone information, it yelled droid.
That's so great timing.
That's awesome. But yeah, I've got my iPhone for mods, jailbreak info. And then I've got one for those that are interested in military and tech. A good one to follow is at Danger Room. They put out some pretty cool info. And then I've got one for tech news and podcast infos. And it's got people like at EdBot, at RWW, which is Read Write Web, and then at YFNCG, your favorite neighborhood computer guy, which I noticed that he recently joined the PodNuts community a few months ago. So
sweet.
He's got some interesting stuff.
Awesome.
So again, I'll drop that over there for that. All right.
Hey, that's great info, Max.
Yeah. Let me, I got a toy here real quick. If we got time, I'm going to try it. This is an item that I'm going to go ahead and hit start.
I'm scared.
No, it's cool. It's something that that's been brought up in team speak, and I'm sure that
can't be good either.
it's a toy / tool that people have been getting and using. I'll drop my link to Justin TV in there. Actually, you know what? I guess we're gonna have to put Justin TV / Max Team on there.
You want to throw it on? Or I'll do it.
Justin TV. Got it under your sleeve, Max.
I know, Max. What's going on? Hold on. My cat's laying on my arm. Max.
All right, that should be broadcasting by now.
From the Podnuts Team Speak. No. So don't click this link here.
It's gonna have to be Justin TV / Max Team on.
So you're gonna be broadcasting from your house, basically. With this.
Yeah. It's going across my Justin TV screen. So.
I'm just getting a white screen. Justin TV Max Team on, right?
Yeah. Try that.
Searching.
All right. There's Justin TV / Max Team.
All right. Any other?
And I just get a blank screen when I go to your page.
Why? It is. What the heck?
Me too.
You too?
Yeah.
That's so blank, weird. That's Justin TV's problem. That's nothing you did.
Great.
Max broke Justin TV.
When you bring something up from the team speak.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Man, I never saw
that was going to be fun.
I never saw anybody break Justin TV that badly. You broke the hell out of it. It won't even show anything.
All right. I hit start. It's doing its countdown.
Okay.
What are you broadcasting? Okay. Title your broadcast.
Now we got it. Now we got it. Here we go.
There we go. Okay. Here we go. All right. There we go. Cool. All right. Check that out.
Wait. Let's watch a Chips Ahoy commercial first.
It was sweet. Let me grab some milk.
Yeah. Let's grab some milk. Oh, wait. There's no sound off button. Oh, there we go.
I like the Spanish.
What is this, Max? Is this you?
Where's that music coming from?
Oh, my God. There was two separate commercials playing on Justin TV at once. I thought that was Max's thing.
Oh, that's one thing I hate about Justin TV.
I see a corner of a P that's from a Podnuts logo, maybe?
Oh, dang, you're good. I Spy Where's Waldo. Hey,
what is it? What is that?
It's the, you know, I didn't bring it up, a link for it, but it's the USB microscope that people have been using.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't.
That thing is really cool.
Got it off of eBay. If anybody can bring a link up to it before I do, then feel free to drop it in there.
Yeah. Hey, and this is an amazing freaking magnet. It's almost like the size of a pin with a wire coming out of the back that you plug into your USB, but it's the end of the pin has got a light on it, and it's got this really powerful magnifying lens.
Oh, not like a pen, like a writing utensil pen.
Yeah, and you can like really get into really tight spots, and it's just so it's freaking powerful. What does that say? 200 times?
Mine's I've got the 400 one. It was like 400. $20 more.
Yeah,
it's a 2-megapixel nice USB endoscope magnifier, 400 power.
Oh.
And what that is, that's off my iPhone there. That's your Retina display.
And let's go back to your live view here. And that's what this thing. Oops.
And that's really good for like scanning, like circuit boards, motherboards.
Yeah, that's
you know
awesome
to
for
look for crack solder joints.
Yeah, yeah. Someone was showing theirs the other day. They were doing a solder job. And they were showing what they had done, and I thought it was pretty cool. So I
that's
thought, man, I gotta
awesome.
Have
How much is this thing? Let me go check the price.
It's not much.
$40.
Yeah,
$40. And mine, it was shipped direct from Hong Kong. And it didn't really take too long. It took like maybe three weeks or something like that to get it in. But it's pretty cool. It's got software where you can do measuring. I don't know how accurate it is, but
really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool toy.
I can't wait 3 weeks for anything. That's just me.
It's coming from Hong Kong. So, you better.
I know. Yeah, this is very cool looking. Very cool. That's a neat toy. I love the toys Max brings to these, to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been having a toy fest.
So, I get on that kick every once in a while.
Yeah. All righty. Let's see. Now, getting away from toys, some projects that I got coming up. Oh, look at that. I lied. I've got more toys.
All
for
right.
Projects. Okay, so this is one of the things I'm going to do here. Dropping another link in chat. And because where I'm from here in Texas, you know, Friday night football, it's a big thing. Everyone loves it. And I seen this a couple of, it's almost been a couple of years ago now. And this was off of Make Magazine. And yeah, for anyone that wants to look it up, just do Make Magazine / LED fans, ultimate fan sign. Or just follow the links that I just put up there.
Look at
Hi,
that.
It's Kip K from Make Magazine, and I'm standing outside of Tropicana Field here in all St. Right, Petersburg, Florida.
All right, all right. Getting shut ready up, to go shut inside. Up. Okay. Okay, so it's an LED sign that you can hold up. Oh, my God. Look at all the... Oh, my gosh. Look at all the soldering needed.
That's the only thing about it.
Oh, my God.
And then every one of those LEDs has a resistor on it.
You're right.
So...
Jeez, this would take like 2 years to make. But look at it.
It's awesome, though, isn't it? Look at that.
It's the Rays.
Cool.
Tampa Bay, baby.
So what I'm contemplating is getting Christmas lights, the LED Christmas lights, you know, just the short chain of them, and like 15, 10 feet or something like that, and see how that will work
out.
Well,
how are you going to power them?
Battery. Just put a battery pack on it.
That's much, much better than doing what these guys did. Much better. I mean, that's like make divided by like 2,000.
Yeah, I mean, you could like put that on a big board and make a logo of your computer repair business.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyone that is good with that kind of stuff, you know, let's start a something over in the forums or something about it, and we'll just call it fan sign, and go from there. Because I'm kind of clueless on that kind of stuff. Really, that's why I was like, man, I got to have something simpler than, 1,200 LEDs all attached with a resistor
to each one.
Each one of them, yeah.
Hey, I could use some signage, man.
Max, I'll
let you do all the work, and then whenever you perfected it, then I'll just kind of copy.
I'll start mass marketing them. I'll sell them to you we can do resellers on them.
Okay, yeah, but you know, nudge. We're buddies in the podcast community.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of what I'm going to try to work on this summer and get that, like Tim said, get that down perfected and see if that'll, you know, if you can get it within reason as far as cost and everything. Because I figure, I mean, you know, $30-$35, the fans that we got, I know that we have for our football team, they would easily pay that. And then someone up there said, be sure to buy plenty of drinks for the people behind you. So,
seriously.
No doubt.
You should do a Kickstarter for this. That'd be pretty cool.
And then another one that I got put up there is the T-shirt cannon. I seen that. I thought that would be pretty cool to make.
Is it a make?
Make had it. I couldn't find the one that I was looking for on Make.
Good, because theirs would probably take like freaking petroleum or uranium.
Theirs was actually pretty simple. It's pretty cool.
Let's check this one out. Make your own T-shirt can. My YouTube is very sluggish for some reason. I don't know what's up with it. Do a refresh here. Lower the quality.
Anyway. I didn't watch this one all the way through. So if there's any profanity, it's Tim's fault.
Blame it on
your hardware,
Steve. It's the air chamber.
Blame it on Liam. No, it's can't be my hardware.
Not your hardware. No, not yours.
No way. Top shelf.
Wow. Stop. Let you hear what it sounds like for the solenoid to go off. That's what the solenoid sounds like.
All right, just let us see if we launch something out of this thing.
And then be able to fire it. But you know what? We'll do that in version 2. Yeah. Okay, now it's your turn.
I know. I don't know what's up with my YouTube. It's just always flaking out on me. Anyway, it's cool. Make a t-shirt cannon. It's at WN.com. What is WN.com?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have a title on the freaking...
It's probably downloading some scriptware in the back.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, worldnews.com. It probably
that's
is, though.
That's why it's sluggish.
Yeah, let me exit out of there.
Yeah, but, you know, again, Doc put in, you know, make a spud gun. Shoot t-shirts instead of taters, you know, same thing, same concept. The one that Make had, they used a CO2 canister from drawing a blank here, from paintball guns.
Ah.
So, and then they also had something else rigged up so you can go, you know, ultimate, get lots of blasts out of it too. But the, you know, again, I think that would be cool, you know, for sports events, preferably open air sports events, unless you got a huge stadium for your local event.
You mean
know, college?
Like, you mean like Little League or something like that? School.
Yeah, Little League, something like that. You know, I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna try to do this with local football games going on here and stuff, and see how that'll work out.
So you're thinking business wise for all this stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's. I mean, see where you're going. This. You're like, I'm not making this sign. These LED signs are fun. I'm gonna mass market these buggers.
Yeah, you throw down the bucks to get you some company t-shirts made and
just launch them.
Go to a place that's crowded and you start firing your can.
It's a great idea. Seriously.
They've got the fan signs. You know, like I say, if you can, you know, depending on what the hardware and everything is going to be on that, you know, if you can sell it, I know they'll sell big if I can just make it, you know, profitable. So.
Sell them in Philly. They'll love you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then same thing for the t-shirt cannons, you know, pass it down. Because who was it? A radio station last year came in and did that. And during the football game and halftime and during timeouts, and people just went crazy, you know, and they were just launching stupid AM radio t-shirts, and people were like stumbling and knocking each other over trying to get them. So
you know what they do in Philly? They shoot hot dogs into the crowd.
Yeah, that was something else I was thinking of. Hot dogs and just gift certificates, you know, just different things.
Laptops.
You know, of that nature, yeah.
Netbooks.
Laptops. Some of my free, you know, throw some of my Verizon phones in there, shoot them at. Shoot them at a low projectile angle.
Awesome.
But, You know, I think that'd be a good way for advertising and, you know, making it fun too.
I agree.
Also, the 4th of July parade here in town is another huge event that we have. We have like four main huge events here in Canadian that are big draws, and 4th of July being one of them. So 4th of July, the rodeo. We usually always have a big music festival, stuff like that. So you need to get out there with those kind of items.
Let us know how you do.
Yeah, I just need some help with the sign, I think, and get the gumption to bust out the PVC pipe for the t-shirt cannon. Go from there. So.
It sounds exciting.
Great marketing scheme, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, better than spending your money for a dumb Yellow Pages ad or, you know, my newspaper ad, I think, is pretty much drawn about as much as it has because I haven't really gotten much from it. Another one I'm getting ready to change up to is the local theater here, the guy that runs it. He's a techie. So we've been kind of talking back and forth some different stuff we can do and switch out some services. He said he'd let me run some ads. So I'm going to try to do some sort of marketing campaign other than just, you know, something flashes and, you know, Maxim Technology, get your computer repaired here, da, 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 da. Try to do some sort of interaction to where they, you know, have to go to my Twitter account for the business or my, you know, business Facebook account for the business and, you know, enter, you know, follow, you know, or something like that. Just anyone comes up with ideas like that, you know, put it out there for everyone else to see. Because I got some stuff in my head, and once I can get it out if I can just get it out of my head, you know, it's in there talking to me. Get it out and get it on paper and get it into, into actual
production
events happen. Yeah, production of it. I think it'll work. Sweet. Thinking like, you know, using QR codes for those that, you know, are heavy on the droid. Cause as I find out, you know, people coming in with, you know, looking for phones and stuff, there's quite a few of them that, you know, will, that have these smartphones, and some of them absolutely have no clue what to do with them. And some of them are, you know, out there kind of like most of us are, you know, knowing what they're going to do. So
awesome.
So just some techniques and marketing campaigns that, I'm going to try to get going here.
Sweet. I like it.
Yeah. So, tweaking, rooting, whatever smartphones, man. I mean, that you can kind of go into a business of that yourself. I mean, that could be a little bit of a lucrative, venture there. Yeah. Something to offer, really, if you think about it.
It is. I've talked to two people today that needed their phones rooted, and one guy was complaining about the apps that came on it. A girl was saying she wants to tether her Android phone. I'm telling you, it's a good business, I think. Business idea.
Yeah. But I think
that you can charge for.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
All right, are we going to emails, or do you have anything else, Max?
I think I'm wore down. All right. I actually had me a little agenda here made out, and I followed it, and I'm at the bottom of it. So
no, it was like a good boy. Nice little finished off the list. Good job.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me kill my Justin feed, and we can go to email.
Here we go. It's from Greg. He says, "Hey, Steve, I just tore down my laptop today, a compact NC6000 I bought cheap. Before I broke it down, I started it up, and I got the Windows XP Pro window on the screen, but I also got a big block message that kind of said it was crashed." I guess he's saying a blue screen of death. "Anyway, when I put it back together, I plugged it in and started it up. I got power okay. The laptop went straight into standby mode, which I wasn't able to get it out of, and I didn't get anything on the screen. I could feel the hard drive spinning up and stopping, but I don't get any lights lit up on the hard drive accessing light. Any ideas what I may have done wrong or what I should look for? Going to tear it down again soon. Thanks for any help, Greg." Yeah, Greg, something when you put that thing back together, something didn't go together properly. That sounds like a hardware issue. Maybe a short somewhere or something, or maybe you used the wrong screw in the wrong hole, or you didn't connect a ribbon cable, or you didn't something's not seated properly in the motherboard, like the RAM or something like that. I would tear it down again and put it back together again. Just be very careful. Everything's properly put back together. Anything else on that, you guys?
No, I agree. I think maybe if you want to try, possibly if it's possible to boot into like a live CD, like a Linux live CD or something, maybe that can give you a little bit better idea of what's going on, what's failing.
Cool. Next one's from MindMelt. He says, "A link for Podnuts Daily about Aaron's, the rental place, putting spyware on people's rental computers and spying on them." Here it is, at Yahoo News. "The suit against PC renter raises privacy questions. Check it out, guys. It looks like a good article. It's at Yahoo News. Just type in suit against PC renter raises privacy questions." You can type any of those keywords in, it'll come up. This is about that thing where Aaron's, the rental company, rented out a laptop to a customer, thought they weren't paying, so spied on them through the webcam, saw that they were still using the computer, and thought that they had grounds to like prosecute or like take some kind of action on them because they saw them using the computer through their own private webcam. It was just the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's dumb. They hung themselves.
They seriously did. They probably thought absolutely. It was a great. Can you imagine them all sitting around their little back office going, "We got them. We got them." And thinking that they were going to win this.
No. There's not a company that deserves to hang themselves better than a company like that.
Seriously. All right. Next email. Thank you for that, MindMelt. Next email is not an email at all. It's a voicemail, which I am going to play.
Hey, Steve, this is Max. Max from Technology.
It's from Max.
Whoa. Hey. I have no idea what this even is.
All right, let's hear it.
I was just going to give a call in regards to a couple of topics that were brought up on Daily Show number 307. One regarding the USB SD card locks and an issue I've come up with those. I was wondering if anyone else has had this problem. I used the USB adapter with an SD card with a lock feature on that. And while in lock mode, I've noticed that a certain brand of the USB adapters will allow the drive to be wrote to, even while in lock mode. I posted it over in the forum under software with the topic of USB SD lock thumb drives in the forum if anybody wants to check that out as well. And the other topic was install after doing an install, whether or not you need to defrag the hard drive. I've always done that. I've run my cleaning tools to remove the temp files, and then I defrag after I do a new install. I was wondering what anyone had on that topic as well. Again, that's under the forums. Under software, and the name of that topic is defrag after new install. All right, appreciate the show and the topics that are brought up, and the thing that everybody spreads across the PodNuts forums here. Makes it a great show, makes everyone else a great tech. Keep up, we appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Max, I'll back you up on the defrag thing on Windows XP in particular. I think defragging is definitely something that is smart to do as a technician on Windows XP machines, either after a fresh install or after a cleanup. I would definitely agree. It does increase performance, seek times, search times, read-write times on the drive. Now, as far as Vista and Windows 7 goes, some people don't know this, but Windows Vista, Windows 7, automatically does a defrag, and you can check this in the administrative tools section in control panel of the operating system, and dig around in there, you'll find it. It does it automatically as a service defrag when the system is idle. So just a little tidbit there, but yeah, I agree with you. Now the locking flash drive. That's very interesting. It's did you say that was an SD card with a USB adapter that allows it to be written to? Is that correct?
Yeah. What I got is the USB adapter, and then inside of that I've got my SD card,
mm-hmm.
and then inside that I've got the micro SD, and then the adapter for the SD card itself has the lock on it.
Right.
So whenever I just use the SD card itself in systems that have SD port on it, it won't write to it. But if I put it inside the USB adapter and then put it in there, it can read and write to it all day long.
You're kidding me. That yep. is interesting. So if you use adapter, it will write on it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, and you know, it's not unlocking it when it slides it in there.
Right.
And I don't know. I think maybe it might just be this brand.
What brand
of
is
it? Because it's one of those just what is it called? Qi Tech Corp. This is one of those off-brand Chinese, versions. I think the adapter itself was like $2 or something like that.
Okay.
So that might be the issue. The circuitry inside of it is allowing something to happen. Because I had another one, and it was a Kingston USB adapter, and I had no issues with it. So I think that might be the problem.
Very
it's just that
good.
It's,
yeah,
it's
I had
the
an
brand.
I had an IO Gear SD card adapter, USB SD card adapter, and it seemed to work. So that is a good thing to watch out for. You think you're safe using a locked SD card, but it's in a cheapo, crappy USB adapter. So good one, man. I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
All right. Next email, our voicemail, I think, is also from Max. This is so funny.
Dang.
Let me see.
Max, you're a machine.
Here it is.
Hey, I am
Dave,
on.
This is Max in technology again. I generally don't call too often, but when I do, it seems like I call it two or three voicemails. Anyway, hey, here's what I got. When I was leaving your last voicemail, I just received a call from a customer, and it kind of spurred a topic that maybe we need to discuss. They will call in regards to wanting to know if I had their wireless password. And so that kind of made me wonder if who out there, you know, do they retain their customers' passwords for their routers, for their for their computers or any of their other accounts. I do only for my main clients, my retainer clients. Other than that, for my one-time customers, or if I've had, you know, a repeat customer off of them that seems like they continually have issues, I will generally note that on their journal log that I keep every time I work with the customer. So that's kind of what I was wondering. Should we not retain customers' passwords? Just kind of see what we find off from that. Appreciate it again. Thanks, Steve.
I say no. I like that, Max. Nice shirt. I say no, but I wouldn't want to just have that as a possible liability to be stolen and then used somehow. I mean, if I just go there, I'll ask them what their password is. If they don't know, I'll plug into their router and just get it or wipe it. I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I just had a situation recently where I set up a wireless network at a customer's house. What I do is I hold on to certain information for maybe 30 days and then I destroy it. But that kind of bit me because he called me here just yesterday and goes, "Hey, you wouldn't happen to know that I misplaced it. You wouldn't happen to know that password that's on my router, would you? We're trying to hook a device to it." And unfortunately I didn't. So, I don't know. I mean, I can understand the liability part of it. I still say, I would still say no to that. I would probably just destroy any information like that for liability purposes.
I would too. Like, say that guy did. He called you and said, "Oh yeah, I do have your password. Yeah, it was right here, just sitting on my kitchen table for everyone to see." Like, I mean, like, you could say the wrong thing to that guy in that case.
Be, yeah,
like, yeah, I do have your password. I spray painted it on my wall outside my house. Like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, then he might start to ask himself, "Oh, Tim has my password. I hope he's keeping it safe." You know,
I mean, the guy was right there when I set that password up. He's sitting there writing all this information down right in front of me.
Right.
So that alone says, okay, you're responsible for that information. I'm not. But I will retain it for a small amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I'll just destroy it.
Yeah. Max, you brought up the point. What do you think?
For just one-time customers, I don't retain any of that information. Most of the time, I don't even get their passwords. For like their log-on account, half the time people always forget it. And I just got to the point where I don't even ask. I'll just run, OrfCrack or one of the con boots on it and not even worry about it. And but for my repeat customers, like for my businesses, each one of those, I do create a file of everything that I do with them. And inside of that, I do keep, their passwords to anything that's relevant to what I need to know, router information, their DSL, ISP, whichever account information, anything, computer login accounts and stuff like that.
I guess it would be just a good idea to ask the customer if they would like you to keep a record of certain information on file, because some would say, "Yes, I'd love you to." And some would say, "No, I don't want that,
right,
anywhere outside of my home."
Right. Right.
So yeah, maybe that's the way to go about it. And then maybe sign a little something, disclaimer or something.
If you feel like you want to save passwords, it'd probably be a good idea to ask. If you decide you don't want to save passwords, then done deal. You don't have to.
And Matt Rainey says, charge them for it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
A little service, Tim's Vault service.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he had a comment there in the forums regarding that too. But like I say, man, if I was to lose passwords to the clients, I would probably be in trouble because there's really no way I could get around it, since majority of the ones that I do have them, they're all lawyers or doctors. So
probably.
Well, yeah, one of them's the county lawyer. One of them's so yeah. But no, they I tell them that I do have that information. I also tell them that I have them set up on LogMeIn, to where I can remote into it without their, needing to acknowledge it. So they do know that as well. But if I'm going to get on their systems, I'll call them the day of and let them know that I'm going to be on the systems.
So right.
I don't get on it at all without notifying them, some way or another.
Gotcha. Interesting. Good stuff. All right. We got a couple more emails. We're not going to read them today though. We'll get to them next week. Max, awesome as usual, man. Thanks very much for bringing the goods and coming on the show.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Like I say, again, for any of those that are still dreading it, you might be nervous. I was still nervous. This is my fourth or fifth time I've been on. I'm still a little nervous, but Steve's calming voice will get you settled in. And once you get started, you forget all about it. As long as you have a list of what you're doing, what you're talking about, know what you're going to talk about. That's probably the best tip I could give. So yeah. If you ain't been on, be on.
Thanks, Max. Yeah, and I'll give you a couple more tips. Come prepared. It's exactly what Max said. Have a good headset, a good internet connection, a webcam. Bring stuff to talk about. Read off your list. You're golden. You're golden. Even better than my soothing voice is Timsters. Yeah. So
you hear that now? Your soothing voice.
Nothing will put you more at ease than Timster's soothing voice.
No, really, it's just a conversation. You know, if you bring things to the table to talk about, we'll discuss it. We'll comment on it. It's almost like a phone call. Really, it really is. Minus disregard. It's great that you're on camera, okay. But when you get rolling, you forget you're on camera, and it's just really just having a good tech conversation with one tech to another tech. So I appreciate everybody who's responded to signing up for Podnuts Daily. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to everybody in the Podnuts community to keep it going, man. This is a great thing. So I'm with the program, and I would like to see it carry on.
Well, you're being instrumental in that. I actually did forget to mention, Max, too, when you were talking about that, it did pop in my head. Timster's call to arms was immensely effective. I mean, we were booked, I think, almost through July. And I just posted the August dates. So if you want to sign up, you're not going to be on next week. So you have a couple months to just relax about it. So sign up for August, chill out for a couple months. You won't even be nervous by the time the show hits you. So, but thanks, Tim. We had a huge response from that. People were signing up like crazy. And we really got the momentum back in the show, man. So instrumental in many aspects of this.
Yeah, thanks. It really surprised me too. I mean, I just knew though that our Podnuts guys and gals would stand up to the call. It's just great to see that.
Totally. Well, if you don't want to be on the show, you could still email the show and we will read your emails. You could send me a mail at mail@podnuts.com. If you want to call and leave a voicemail like Max did and be on the show at the same time, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Call 7076-PODNUT on a phone. Still take you straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to any real people if you're afraid of people. And you just leave a voicemail and we'll play that on the show. And I'm just kidding. No, I'm afraid of people. All right. Thanks, everybody, also for watching and listening and streaming and downloading, uploading, sideloading. Down any kind of loading. Music provided by Evan King.
Evan King.
Up, down, side, diagonal loading.
Oh.
Picking up all the angles here. All right, well, we will see you next week, Podnuts Daily. Thanks, guys. See you next time.